الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of taking from the treasures of the Holy Quran whilst in the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous lessons, we had spoke with regards to the verses of Surah Al-A'la, and we mentioned in the very final verse that the most wretched of people will enter into Jahannam, in which there is no death, nor is there life. And we had mentioned many things with regards to these verses, but there was one narration that was left to mention. This narration has been mentioned by Imam Suyuti rahimahullah, and he has quoted from the book Dhikrul Maut by Ibn Abi Dunya. He mentioned in this narration that one day Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was conversing with the angel of death. And he said to the angel of death that, show me how you appear to a disbeliever or a person destined for Jahannam. And Hazrat Ibrahim Ali, the Malikul Maut, said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that, O Ibrahim, la tutbik dhalik, you do not have the ability to tolerate viewing this scene. However, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam insisted again and again until the angel of death said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that, okay, turn around. So Ibrahim alayhi salam turned around, and then when he turned again and he viewed the angel of death, the angel of death had transformed into his form that he takes. As we know, the angels can take different forms. For example, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, he was in the form of a human. And many times, when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would come in the form of a human being as well. So the moment Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam laid eyes on the horrible form that the Malikul Maut, the angel of death, had taken, Ibrahim alayhi salam fell unconscious.
He just fell unconscious. Now, we've got to understand something here, that who is viewing this? For these things, it's not physical strength. It's not physical strength that is acquired. It's not big muscles that we build in the gym that's acquired. It is strength, a spiritual strength. A spiritual strength that is bestowed upon an individual by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally speaking, the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, they possess the very highest levels and the epitome of such spiritual strength. And as Ibrahim alayhi salam, being the kind of prophet he was, the status he was at, he was Khalilullah, he was the friend of Allah, he had such a high status, he was the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even an individual of such stature was not able to tolerate seeing the angel of death in this form. So who are we? Who are we compared to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? So what's going to happen to us when a'udhu billahi min dhalik, if we were to disobey and did not comply with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angel of death, who we are going to see? That is the inevitable. Sometimes it will be sooner, sometimes it's later. But it is the inevitable. So who are we to be able to tolerate such a sight? And the description goes on to say that there was fire coming out of the mouth, and every hair on the body of this, the form that had been taken, there was fire coming out of this. So, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وَجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. And if only you saw, when the disbelievers are passing away, they are dying, the angels are striking them. The angels are striking them. So this verse explains to us that the punishment already begins at the time of death. And the angels are beating, and the punishment has begun. So there is a very, very stark warning for us to learn about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to comply with them, not just out of fear. And we mentioned this before. It is important for us to talk about Jahannam, and it's important for us to talk about this, the frightening scenes of the day of Qiyamah. This will instill the fear of Allah into us. However, our iman should go beyond this. And the next verse will explain what we're talking about. And inshallah, I'll finish very short today, as we have a family event, and I'm currently skiving the family event, and I'm getting a lot of phone calls. But it's very important for the verse of the Quran to also continue. So normally we go on for about half an hour, but today it'll be a little bit shorter, inshallah. So I'll just mention, go slightly on to the next verse, and then inshallah we'll conclude for today. And what am I talking about with regards to the scary scenes of Qiyamah not being enough? It should be more than this. And what does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And there's many, many opinions with regards to this, but I'm only going to touch upon one opinion. One opinion with regards to this verse, tazakka, the word means cleansing, to clean oneself. The word zakah also comes from this word, and zakah is when we clean our wealth. So tazakka, one opinion of the Mufassirin is that this is talking about spiritual cleansing. And what is spiritual cleansing? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Verily, the person who has succeeded, that person has succeeded who cleansed himself. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And he remembered the name of his Lord, فَصَلَّى, and he prayed salah. So, we have mentioned with regard to tazkiyah before. What is tazkiyah? Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fithani rahimahullah writes that these verses are in chronological order. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. It is of utmost and paramount importance that we spiritually cleanse ourselves. How do we spiritually cleanse ourselves? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ. And he remembered the name of his Lord. يعني ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. And a person, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned in a hadith that when a person commits a sin, a black dot appears on his heart. So how does a person remove this black dot? So now we need to clean the heart. Yeah? This is spiritual cleansing. So a person, he cleans the heart with istighfar by making sincere tawbah and istighfar. There are three conditions for a person's istighfar and repentance to be accepted. One is that a person is sincere, that he genuinely has regret that, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I made my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset. I shouldn't have done this. Number two, a person should have the intention that I'm never going to do this sin ever again. It shouldn't be that, you know, I've done a sin, but I've got plans with the boys tonight as well. Yeah? No. It should be that, no, I'm never ever going to do this sin again. So that intention to never do this sin again. And thirdly, a person should never do that sin again. If he does that sin, then he has to make tawbah again. So number one, we make istighfar and tawbah and we turn to Allah and we ask Allah for forgiveness. And number two, we do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What dhikr to do, how much dhikr to do, what to pray, when to pray, what to think about, when to pray. This is all medication, spiritual medication. And for a person, what do you do when you need to know how much medicine to take? You go to a doctor. So likewise, those are the doctors of the body. This is the doctor of the heart. So we go to the spiritual doctor, the sheikh, and we tell them that, you know, I've got a bad habit. I'm smoking, I'm vaping, I'm too much Snapchat, too much YouTube, too much this, too many movies, too many games. Then the sheikh will tell you that, okay, you pray this much times, istighfar every day, this much dhikr, this much la ilaha illallah every day. And then if we listen to the sheikh and we do this, then inshaAllah ta'ala, slowly, slowly the heart will become clean. And then what happens after the heart becomes clean? When the heart becomes clean, we no longer feel like committing sin, but we only feel like doing good things. And we look at examples of this. We look at our elders, the mashayikh, the scholars and the pious people of the past. They found pleasure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll end on one example and then I really need to go. We look at the ibadah and the worship of the people, of the pious people of the past. And there's hundreds and millions of examples. I'll give you one example. There was a very pious individual at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was unique in the sense that he was a Muslim at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he never ever met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was too busy looking after and taking care of his mother. Many of us will know his name to be Hazrat Uwais Qarni radiyallahu rahimahullah. Yeah, generally we say radiyallahu anhu for sahabas, but there's no problem in saying radiyallahu anhu for other people as well. Hazrat Uwais Qarni rahimahullah, we look at his worship. He used to copy the worship of the angels. The worship of the angels is, there are some angels of ruku, some angels of sajda, some angels of qiyam. What does this mean? That ever since they were created, they're in ruku, worshipping Allah. Some angels, ever since they were created, they're in sajda. So what he used to do was, he'd have it planned that tonight I'm going to do qiyam. So he'd say, Allahu Akbar, Surah Fatiha, and then he started praying Quran. All night he used to pray, stay in qiyam. And then when he was coming towards Fajr start time to the break of dawn, then he would quickly finish off the remaining 8 rakats of tahajjud, and then he would finish. The next day he'd say, today is the night of ruku. This was their entertainment. This was their example of a night out. Us boys, we go on a night out, we go for food, we go for shisha, we go this, we go there, we go Allah knows where. But this was their example of a night out. And tonight is the night of ruku. Tonight is the night of... All night he would spend in ruku. All night he would spend in sijda. And then, do you know what he used to say after he used to do salam at the end of the night? That's amazing, right? He spent his whole night. We'd be like, yeah, I'm next level now. There's no one on my level anymore. He's walking down the street. Yeah, no one on my level. Do you know what he used to say when he used to finish? He used to raise his hands and he used to look at the sky and he used to say, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Oh Allah, I've not worshipped you like you're supposed to be worshipped. All night he's in worship. Ya Allah, I've not worshipped you like you were supposed to be worshipped. This was the humility, this was the tawadu that these individuals had. And we should try to emulate this. Slowly, slowly stop praying 2 rakats at night, 5 minutes, then slowly increase 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Inshallah, time will come in 10 years, 15 years, we'll be on that level as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to cleanse ourselves, to make the tazkiyah and tasawuf of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to return to Him, to make istighfar, to cleanse ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this make us from amongst His very pious servants and His beloved ones. And this is what I was saying, that it should, our reluctance to sin shouldn't be out of fear for Jahannam or out of fear of the angels. It should be out of fear of making Allah unhappy. Why? Because if you have a friend, you don't want to make your friend unhappy. You won't say something to your friend that will make him sad. Because he's your friend. Why? Why do you not want to harm your friend? Because he's your friend, you love him. So this is how we should be with Allah. Forget Jahannam, all that. My greatest pain will be making Allah unhappy with me. That Allah is my friend, I can't make Allah unhappy. He's my best friend. He created me, He looks after me, He gives me clothes. How can I make Him unhappy? Our nazar should be there, our vision should be there. That Jahannam, all that's one thing, but I don't want to make Allah unhappy. As long as Allah is happy with me, that's fine. That's enough for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from His pious and close servants. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true love for the Holy Quran, and the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran till our dying breath. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.